cost of opioids as a public nuisance. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. Stock in the pharmaceutical company Johnson & Johnson is up 2.5% in early trading now. This after a 7-week trial found J&J downplayed the risks of opioids. A judge in Oklahoma ordered the company to pay $572 million. The state had asked for much more, $17 billion. Yet, $572 million is significant and more than twice what Purdue Pharma, the maker of OxyContin, paid to settle before the trial. J&J will appeal. Joining us here is Eric Gordon of the University of Michigan's Ross School of Business. Good morning.
Good morning, David.
This case was brought under a public nuisance law, and Oklahoma has apparently a really broad public nuisance law. What's the significance?
So the significance is that these public nuisance laws have been used mostly unsuccessful for things, for example, like guns, lead paint. It's a pretty creative approach because it allows the plaintiffs, in this case, the state of Oklahoma, to recover a lot of money without showing how much each individual drug user was hurt.
Now, Johnson & Johnson's stock, as I mentioned, went up overnight, in part, we think, because this verdict, the dollar figure, was less than it might have been. But, I mean, let's be real here. This is just the beginning of a series of legal fights, not just for Johnson & Johnson.
Oh, this is just the first paragraph of the first page of the first chapter.
There's many more of these. And, I mean, do judges have to be fully guided by what's happened in Oklahoma?
You know, each judge will decide, and each jury will decide according to the law of their state. And, in fact, we don't even know what the final verdict is in Oklahoma because Johnson & Johnson is going to appeal this.
Do you see already a lesson in this one Oklahoma verdict for the industry that sells these painkillers?
You know, I think there's a big lesson. Just because you get your product approved by the FDA, that gives you a defense against claims that your product is not safe. It is no defense against claims that your marketing is deliberately misleading.
So you think there's going to be perhaps greater attention to what you say in an ad for your drug?
I think if you're intelligent, you're going to be very careful and maybe not get too close to the line so that it later looks as if you're trying to mislead people.
Always good to talk to business professor Eric Gordon, University of Michigan. Thank you.
My pleasure.
Today, the government's 3-month note yields 1.9%. If you get one that doesn't mature for 10 long years, the effective interest rate is a lot less, just 1.5%. That's the upside-down world we live in, essentially bets that the economy will turn down. That gap between 3-month and 10-year rates is now the widest since 2007. Market strategist Karen Cavanaugh is with Voya Investment Management. Good morning.
Good morning.
So this inverted yield curve that causes concern for some is more inverted this morning. The gap between 3-month interest rates and 10-year government interest rates is the widest since the spring of 2007. What does that tell you?
Well, it's the inverted yield curve is not really telling me that much. What's more concerning is the fact that interest rates are so low. That's telling me that global growth is waning. The fact that the yield curve is inverted and short-term rates are higher than long-term rates, well, that can happen when interest rates are so low. There's not a lot of wiggle room.
In fact, in a matter of minutes, we'll get the latest reading on consumer sentiment, and that had been running pretty strong.
Right. Consumers are happy because the employment market is very strong. It's the best in 50 years. And now we're seeing a pickup in the housing market, too, especially with lower interest rates. So we expect that consumer sentiment levels to remain elevated.
Karen Cavanaugh is the market strategist at Voya Investment Management. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
There is a new California law that lets cooks sell hot food from their homes, maximum 60 meals per week. The hope is this could nurture small businesses and expand the culinary landscape. Reporter Larry Buell has more.
So green sauce, fire-roasted red sauce,
fire-roasted red, and a little bit of green.
Oh, yes.
It's Taco Thursday at Megan McConaughey's house in the small town of Westvale, California, about 60 miles east of L.A. Simmering pots of spicy beef and chicken sit on her kitchen island. Friends and neighbors show up at times they've specified on an app. McConaughey just started doing this once a week, with one entree option. Last week it was Yucatan cuisine. You can take it to go or dine at her home. No delivery. And she's not charging anyone until after a trial period.
One to see if I'm cut out for it. One to see if people are interested.
She got a micro-enterprise home kitchen permit in June. Sales of non-perishable items like bread and candy, things often found at farmers markets, have been allowed for a while, and that's true in most states. But this law covers meals with meat, dairy, and produce. Food must be cooked and sold on the same day, no raw oysters, and home cooks can sell up to $50,000 worth of food per year.
This home restaurant permitting has major ramifications for economic development.
Isaac O'Leary is a cook organizer with Food Gnome. It started as a home restaurant network and last year lobbied state lawmakers to make home food sales legal. Opponents to the law included counties and environmental health groups that feared it could put Californians at risk of foodborne illness. But O'Leary says it could bring culinary diversity to small towns.
It's about $250,000 to start a restaurant in the state of California on average. This home restaurant permitting is going to reduce that cost to $500 to $1,000.
Priya Sangu's family also started a home kitchen business in Riverside County, and she's finding customers through
word of mouth, social media, and like, you know, just going up to people and literally handing them our card, like, hey, do you like Indian food? And be like, yeah, we do. Like, okay.
So far, only Riverside County has opted into the new law. Other counties are looking into opting into the new law as well. In Riverside County, California, I'm Larry Buell for Marketplace.
And the man who runs Arby's will become the new head of the pizza chain Papa John's. At Arby's, Rob Lynch led a team that was adept at generating social media buzz and leaning into meat with little campaigns to troll vegetarians. In the new job, Lynch will have to face it that a classic pizza, tomato, basil, cheese, olive oil, is naturally vegetarian. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.